It's good to see you guys. I'm glad you're here. It's great to be part of a growing church that God's moving in. And I think one of the reasons that God moves in churches, and one of the reasons that God moves in individuals' lives, is that people listen to Him speaking. That's the topic I wanted to speak about today. How do we hear the voice of God? What does He sound like? I mean, how can we become like the faithful Christians throughout history who knew with confidence that God was speaking to them? I mean, they were so confident that people risked their lives. They were so confident that they loved their enemies. They were so confident that God was speaking that they experienced joy instead of grumpiness. Like, how were they able to hear God so clearly? I mean, does He speak in an audible voice? Does He leave handwritten notes right in front of the coffee maker in the morning? Do this today. Don't do this. Don't drive on that road. Go over this way. Does He speak through your feelings, through your thoughts? How does God speak? And so here's what I want to do in today's sermon. I want to show you how you can know with confidence that God is speaking to you. And so we want to become like the people it says in John 10, where it says, Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I've heard a lot of people say that they wish that God would speak to them like He did in the times of the Bible. And there's some appeal to that. If we think about this, with Moses, God spoke audibly through a burning bush. I think I'd have a lot of confidence if God spoke to me like that. Okay, a bush is talking, it's burning, and it says it's God. While that's a strange experience, I think I would trust what it said. If you were Joseph, remember Joseph, God spoke to him through dreams. I'm not sure if I want God to speak to me through my dreams. Sometimes my dreams are weird. I'm not sure what they mean, but that was a device and a mechanism that God used, dreams and visions. With King Nebuchadnezzar, there was this hand and a finger that wrote on Nebuchadnezzar's wall. That's really bizarre. If a finger started writing on my wall in the middle of the night, I'm running out of my house. But that's the device that God used with King Nebuchadnezzar. With the shepherds, at the birth of Jesus, these angels appeared out of nowhere. Now, there's no doubt, of all of them, man, if angels start speaking to me, they just like show up, man, I'm like no doubt in my mind of an angel showing up. That's powerful right there. And then throughout the Old Testament, though, the most reliable way and the most consistent way that God spoke was through His prophets. All the time, people would show up and they would have this message from God. So this is how it used to be. And sometimes it does seem like, wow, that would be really great. Like, if a prophet would just come and tell me exactly what God's will is, wouldn't that just make life so much easier? If an angel showed up, if an audible voice started speaking to me through a burning bush. But God changed His methods. So, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says this. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways." So He's got the prophets that were speaking, the angels were speaking, dreams and visions, like all of these different ways, various ways and in various times. That's the way God used to speak. But, verse 2, "But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom also He made the universe." So when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, He changed forever how God speaks to people. He didn't need angels and prophets and dreams and strange devices anymore to speak because He's like right there. You're like, hey, what does God think about this? And Jesus is like, well, I'll tell you what God thinks about it because I'm God. And God says, this is what He says. So, you know, if we were walking around with Jesus, that'd be really great, right? Hey, Jesus, what do you think about that? He'd just tell us. Jesus, what should we do about this? He just tell us. But we don't have Jesus anymore, like walking around in the flesh with us. So, again, we have sort of an evolution and a change in the way God speaks. So, Instead of giving like all the different various ways, here's the way it worked. They wrote down all of the things that God wanted us to know. So they took the words of Jesus and they wrote them. And even in the Old Testament, they took the words of the prophets and they wrote them. They took the things that the angels said and they wrote them. They even recorded the things that the burning bush said and the donkey in Numbers. I mean, all of these different things. So now we'll look at what it says. If you flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is now the way that God speaks. And it's like we have unlimited access to hear the words of God. Because it says, so 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. God wants us to be confident that He is speaking to us through His Word. He wants us to be as confident as we'd be if an audible voice started speaking to us. He wants us to be as confident as we'd be if a prophet showed up. He wants us to be as confident as we'd be if an angel started speaking to us. And He does all of that through His Word. And so what I want to do today is give 7 tips on how to hear Him speak to us as we're starting tomorrow on our E100 plan. We're going to be reading the Word on a daily basis, 5 days a week. I want to really give you some easy handles to hold on to that says, okay, I want to hear Him speak. That's why I'm reading His Word. And so I want to give you 7 tips to kind of put this into the flesh and kind of give some examples in my own life of how God has used this in my own life. And I'm having trouble with the sun again. Oh, no. All right, I'm going to put that right there for a second. I'm going to walk over to you. I'll come over to your side. Don't worry. All right. So here we go. Tip number 1 to hear God speak to you. Get in a quiet place. Get in a quiet place. Chuck Swindoll said, great quote on this topic. He said, I cannot become the man I should be without times of solitude. I love that quote. I cannot become the man I ought to be without times of solitude. Look, the bombardment of noise and speed and activities in our lives is almost nonstop. And it takes a real step of discipline to step back, to slow things down, and to get in places that are quiet so that we can hear God speak. So look at what it says back in 1 Kings in the Old Testament. This is a great example of how in the midst of chaos and noise and activity, God speaks. So 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to start with verse 11 and I'm going to read along here for a little bit. So the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So the Lord's about to come by. This is something that's going to be good. When the Lord usually comes by, He usually speaks. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He's like coming out and he's saying, okay, I heard the gentle whisper. Now, what do you want to say to me, Lord? And then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah was in a strange place. Elijah was in a place that the Lord didn't want him to be in. And God was saying to him, what are you doing here? In a whisper, God spoke to him. Do you have a whisper zone in your life? if someone were to come up and whisper really quietly, like, where is that for you? If we want to get ourselves ready to hear Him speak to us, we need a place like that. And so here's what I'm planning to do. I'm going to move back over here now. I feel like I'm neglecting you guys. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm taking one of these, and I'm going to put it on my nightstand. And every night, I'm going to, after I lock up the house and turn off the lights and let the dog outside and get the kids tucked in, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to say, okay, I'm on day, I'm going to find it, and I'm going to get out my Bible, and I'm going to read it. So I'm going to do it every night before I go to sleep. You need to make a plan of some kind so that you can regularly work this into your routine, and it can be in a quiet place where you can hear God speak to you and whisper to your heart. So that's the first tip I have for you, to get into a quiet place. So here's the second tip to hear God speak. And this one, not for the sake of repeating it, but just for the sake of illustrating it, is that we need to be reading and meditating on the Bible itself. Reading and meditating on the Bible. This is the absolute best way to hear God speak. Let me give you an example of how this has happened in my life. So when I was 24 years old, I spent the summer working at J.H. Ranch, this outdoor recreational Christian camp up in Northern California. Amazing summer. I loved it up there so much. And we took these high schoolers up into the wilderness every time they would come out as campers, and we'd do various activities with them and teach them the Bible. One of the times we did this, we had them doing trust falls. So there's a variety of ways you can do trust falls. Since we were in the wilderness, we decided, let's make it more exciting and have them do trust falls off of big boulders. So we'd start them on the small boulders, and, you know, everybody would hold their hands out, and you'd fall, and you'd go, oh, that was really scary, but you caught me, thank you. And then we would graduate up into these gigantic boulders so that as you're standing there about to catch somebody, their feet would be way up high. And so, inevitably, the students would be standing on the edge of the rock. You know, we always have to instruct them, put your hands across your chest, because if they throw their arms out in their fear, one of the people that's supposed to catch you and save your life gets conked in the head. That's a bad thing. So they put their arms across their chest, and then they fall backward and keep their body stiff as a board, and then the people below can catch you. It's quite easy, honestly, because you divide your weight amongst the people that are catching your weight. But it's a powerful experience of learning to trust. Then, after that, the director of the camp turned to Genesis chapter 12. And he read through the story of how God called Abram to leave Ur. And we just talked about, like, what would it be like to be called to leave everything you knew, to trust God, and to go somewhere else? That's a scary thing. So we started to think about that a little bit. And in that passage in Genesis 12, one of the things that's pretty interesting is that God doesn't tell him where they're going. God just says to Abram, I want you to leave, come and follow me to the place where I will show you. Well, that's pretty vague. When am I going to figure that out? Well, we'll just figure it out on the way, right? You just start walking down the path with me. Great story, like famous kind of a Bible story. So here's what happened. We are instructed by the director to go off into find a little spot in the wilderness, find a quiet spot. That wasn't hard. It was all quiet out there in the middle of nowhere. And ask God this question. Is there anything that you would like for me to do in response to your word? Anyway, I'm not trusting you. It's all about trust. And now, I'm one of the staffers, right? So I'd done this a couple of times through the summer, and I'm praying and hoping that God would really speak to these high school students. That's all great. So I was a little surprised when I asked God the question. Almost immediately, this is the thought that came into my head. I want you to leave seminary, the graduate school that I was in, so that I could be prepared to be a pastor. I want you to leave seminary. Like I called Abram to leave Ur, I'm calling you to leave school. Now, that bothered me a little bit for a variety of reasons. I had an internship at a church that I was working in that was contingent on me being in school. I was living for free at my parents' house on the condition that I was still in school. And I also had deferred my college loans as long as I was still enrolled in school, right? So I basically said back to God, I was like, oh, that's a crazy idea. Who would do that? And then the thought was, do you trust me? I'm like, well, of course I trust you. Then leave seminary. Like Abram left Ur, you leave seminary. And I was like, that's crazy, right? Like, so I don't know if you've ever done this. You know the story of Gideon and the fleece and the getting putting it out and put it away. So I tried one of those things. That's not a good idea, by the way. Don't try to do the Gideon and the fleece thing. I didn't really have fleece and it wasn't wet. So I said, all right, God, look, I can't really do that now. So here's what we'll do. If you want me to leave seminary, then make the wind blow. Well, then the wind blew. And I was like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Let's try this again. If you want me to leave seminary, then make the wind stop blowing. Well, the wind blew again. So now I'm getting contradictory messages and I'm like totally confused. And I'm like, I know, you know what? I knew this at the time. I was like, you know what? I'm not even really supposed to like try to do what Gideon did. That's not how God needs to speak to me. And it was like this. God's like, exactly. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Leave seminary. So I had a choice. Do I act in obedience to what God is telling me through His Word? Or do I try to rationalize it? Do I try to ignore it? Do I try to do all kinds of things that we try to do when we feel like God's speaking to us through His Word? I did say yes to that. I said in that moment, at the end of it all, after he and I sort of went back and forth a few times, I said, it was an enthusiastic yes, I'll be honest. It was more of a fine, right? Fine, you win. If you're calling me to leave, then I will leave. That was not a popular decision, by the way. My parents were very confused by that. I had even some of the pastoral staff at my church that didn't like that idea either. They actually came up with this idea that God won't call you to leave something unless He shows you what He's leading you to. So I actually had people like with influence of spiritual authority over me like telling me that this was a bad idea. But I could not deny the fact that God spoke to me through His Word. And I wasn't going to turn back. I wouldn't change. I had no idea why God was leading me to leave seminary. I didn't know. It made every idea. That's the way it works sometimes. When God speaks to us, it doesn't always make sense to us. God needed to change me and teach me things that I had to go all the way to Atlanta for and then all the way to Orlando for. I didn't know all that. And it's like this. If we look back in Hebrews chapter 4, this is the way it works. It's like the Word of God. It's here, right? Everybody can read it. Everybody's reading the same words. But the Word of God is alive and active. It becomes personalized to each of us as God speaks to us through His Word. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. He does that through reading and meditating on His Word. That's why I'm so excited about doing this reading plan with everybody, because I want to hear what God's saying to you. You guys get to hear me say, you know, tell you what God's saying to me all the time. I want to hear what He's saying to all of us. And we're going to have people coming up and sharing some things along the way and sharing some testimony of what's going on with that. It's going to be really great. So the first one is we need to get ourselves in a quiet place to hear Him speak. We also need to be reading His Word and meditating on it. So here's the third one. So the third, fourth, fifth, and then 5.5. I'll get to that one in a second. I have a 5.5 today. Is that these are all sort of born out of and sort of connected to the Word of God. So the third one here is this. Is that prayer is a way that God will speak to us if our prayer, in the back and forth prayer, is in alignment with the Scriptures. So here's what I mean by that. Let me just give you an example. One day, I was at my office down in Southern California, and a woman from our church came in, and I didn't know this woman at all. And within 5 minutes, she sort of gave me the recap story of her life about being in a very unhappy marriage with a man who was basically spending no time with her and spending no time helping raise the kids. So, being a Christian, she said, "I've prayed about this, and I believe that God told me to divorce my husband. And I wanted to come and kind of get your blessing on that." So I first start off just by empathizing with her. I mean, to get to a point where she, as a believer, had married this man and had hopes of a great life with him and raising kids together, to the point where she was considering looking for a divorce lawyer, is a horrible situation. That's not what God designed marriage for. And here she is sitting in my office telling me she's gotten so desperate, this is where she is. Then I asked her a question. And really, this one question could determine whether God had told her to do this or not. And so here's the question. I said, "Has your husband been sexually unfaithful to you, or has he abandoned you?" And she said, "Oh, no, he hasn't done any of those things." So I told her, I said, "Well, then God did not speak to you in your prayer like you thought you did. He did. That is not God speaking to you. How do I know that? Because it would contradict the Word of God. When we are praying and talking to God, things that we think He might be saying to us have to be conforming to His Word. He will not contradict what He has said in the Scriptures." So I asked her, I said, "Could I show you a passage of Scripture that relates to your situation?" And she said, "Okay." You know, at this point, I've totally kind of rocked her world and spun her in a new direction. And I said, "I would like to turn with you to 1 Peter chapter 3. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't think this is going to be on the screen, is it? No, 1 Peter 3 is not on the screen. Where is 1 Peter 3? And I said to her, I said, "Look, I don't want you to feel judged by these words. I don't want you to feel condemned by these words. I would just like for you to look at these words and see how this could apply to your life and your situation right now." I said this. This is what it says. Okay. "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word..." Her husband, by the way, was not a believer. "If your husbands do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." And then we went on to just read this, and she said, that is my life. I am married to an unbelieving man, and I am the believer in this marriage. And she, as we kept reading, she started to just weep. She said, "That's me." She said, I can't leave my husband." So I asked her to commit to, number one, not divorcing her husband, and secondly, to read this passage of Scripture regularly and act in obedience to what it said. And she said she would do both of those things. So about 4 months later, I saw her at church, and she broke out in this big smile, and she gave me a hug, and she said, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much for showing me that in the Scripture." I said, "How's your marriage going?" She said, "You know what? It's not great, but I'm doing what you said. I'm reading the Word, and I'm trying to act in obedience to what it says." And I said, "That's amazing." A year and a half later, I was at our large one of our large events where we were baptizing a bunch of people, and her husband is in the group. Her husband had given his life to Christ and was getting baptized, following Christ in obedience. And I just kind of marveled at that. And I thought, you know, isn't that amazing how God works? And she was thinking, "Oh, God spoke to me through prayer. He spoke to me and He's directing me." And in fact, He hadn't said that at all. Because his words will always align with the Scriptures. So here's the next one. Number four, godly counsel. We should seek godly counsel when we're attempting to find out what God's will is. But again, godly counsel will always align with God's word. So look, we face all kinds of things that are complicated. We face all kinds of challenges that are like, does it say in the scriptures that I should take this new job or not take this new job? Should I move to that city or not move to that city? What should I do about that person and that relationship? Like, sometimes these things are murky and blurry, and we can pray about them and we're like, I'm not sure I'm hearing. And it's so beneficial to find godly counsel, people that can speak to us and they can know the scriptures and say, this is what I would say in your situation, and look at it. Look what it says in Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. There's a mutual benefit that we have as we rub off on each other about wise people sharing the counsel and sharing the truths that they've found from the scriptures. I would say that I have benefited from wise counsel in some of maybe the most impactful ways in my life as I have sought major decisions in my life. When Cassie and I were dating and I was thinking about proposing to her, I went to the three guys that knew me the best, and they had seen and interacted with Cassie and I as well. And I said, I'm thinking about proposing to Cassie. What do you think? I was seeking wise counsel. They gave very specific biblical reasons why they thought that I would be a fool not to propose to Cassie. I so appreciated that. I needed that confirmation. Sometimes we need that kind of affirmation and encouragement from others because maybe we're afraid. And for someone else to come alongside and say, this is what I see. It boosts us up. It holds us up. It makes sometimes the murky waters clearer. And again, always in alignment with God's word. Do you have people in your life like this? Because if you don't, I tell you, the first step to getting some people like this would be to join a Bible study. And, you know, just kind of be in there and listen to what people are saying and let the natural chemistry of relationships develop and build so that maybe after a year or so, you could start to really feel a sense of a great kindred spirit with a friend. And you could turn to them at times and say, what do you think about this? I'm really struggling with this. Because this is something that we want to have in our lives. So in addition to then just prayer and godly counsel, sometimes God will speak to us through circumstances. Circumstances, though, are probably the most blurry and the most controversial or the most confusing of all of the possible ways that God could speak to us. So I always check circumstances with godly counsel, and I always check my circumstances with like things that would be in any way a violation in God's word. Because sometimes, you know, we get in so far over our head that we just need God to put the right thing right in front of us. We're overwhelmed. It's too daunting. And sometimes God is just so gracious and so good. He's like, look, I don't even need to tell you. I'm going to make it really easy. There it is, right in front of you. And you're like, oh my, that's awfully nice and easy and convenient. Is it really God speaking to me? Is it really God moving? Is it really God like showing me how He wants me to go? When Cassie and I, in 2010, Cassie and I spent a very frustrating day driving around the peninsula looking for a place to live. We were moving up from Southern California. We were confident and we knew that God was calling us to come up to CPC and join the pastoral staff here. So we knew that. We also knew as we drove around that the places to rent were very expensive, and I walked into many of them and thought, there's no way I'm living in this place. Some of them were dark and dirty and dangerous. I was like, what's going on, right? So we're driving out of town. We're going back down the 101, and we had seen nothing that we felt like was hospitable or even, that's not the right word, but we found nothing that we would want to live in. Well, I had accepted a job. We knew we were going to go up there. And this is one of those times where, you know, like, there's a gap. Okay, God said this, and then I need to get here, but somehow there's like a gap here, and that's where faith comes in. You're like, man, God, you better come through. And look, this was so good, you guys. I didn't really need God to speak to me and say, I will provide a place for you. I just needed him to like provide the place. That's what I needed. I needed him through the circumstances to somehow provide a place. And then within about a week, and this is a great story that I can't get into now, but within about a week, God provided a great little house that was nicer than any place we had seen. And it was cheaper than any place we had looked at. Through circumstances, God spoke and he was like, all right, look, this is where you're going to live. And we were like, praise God. Thank you for revealing your will and speaking to us through circumstances. All right, so here's, I only had seven and the slide's already made. That's why I had to make a 5.5. All right, you ready? So here's the last one we're going to get on the, as kind of in alignment with the scriptures. And the last one is this, music. Sometimes God will speak to us through music as it's aligned in with the scriptures. And this really was, if you go back even historically, why the hymns were written. The hymns were written so theologically thick. If you look at those hymns, man, sometimes you're like, man, this is not like an easy sing-along song. Like, I got to like look at these words and really think about it. It's because they were teaching them theology and the Bible with the music. The same thing can happen today. I have had very, very powerful and personal experiences with God by singing in church, where we'd be singing a song and everybody's singing along. Some people aren't even singing the song. You know, they're like, oh, I'm a little distracted today, and they're not even singing. But for me in that moment, I have had times where God has said, that is for you today. And I have felt his spirit speak like, do this. Don't do this. I am with you. I will encourage you. I will build you up. All of these various messages that have come through the songs as they are in alignment with his word. And so I think we should be looking for him to speak to us through these varieties of ways. But I tell you what, the absolute, positively best way that he will speak to you is going to be his word. Yeah, he's going to speak to you through prayer and godly counsel and circumstances and in like some songs. But man, this, don't try to replace it with this. This is his most powerful tool to speak to us. So much so, like this will, like, I tell you something that is going to shock you. When I'm talking to non-Christians about who Jesus is and asking them about what they believe about Jesus, and exchanging various ideas, I've seen, I don't even know how many times this has happened, where I will either quote a verse of scripture that I've memorized, or I'll open the Bible and I'll say, well, this is what it says about that. Can we just look at that? Let's just see what God says about this. And I'll just read some scripture to them. And I'll tell you what, it is more powerful than the words that I just say. There is a power to his word that penetrates people's hearts that are not yet believers in ways that have, it's astounded me. I'm not sure why that astounds me, but it's astounding to see how people that have not yet even given their lives to Christ will read the word and they will be moved by what he says here. I think it's a great example of what we were reading earlier from Hebrews about how the word is alive and active and he speaks through it. There's a really cool little booklet plan that I've used a number of times where you give a friend a booklet and it has it has about 4 or 5 chapters of John in it, the Word. And then it gives them like 4 or 5 pages of some interesting writing about some apologetic questions and helps them kind of get over some major questions. And you give these to people that are not yet Christians and you're going to get together and talk about them. Every time I've done it, you know what they want to talk about when we get together? Every time. The Scriptures. I always think that they're going to want to talk about those interesting apologetic questions. Well, what about this? And you're like, oh, I think that's interesting. They never want to talk about that stuff. They want to say, all right, look, when it's said in John chapter 1, when it said that, like, what does that mean? When it said that in John chapter 3, what did that, like, how does that, can you explain that to me? I want to know more about this. The Bible, you guys, is so powerful. And that's the main way he's going to be speaking to us, right? So that's kind of wrapping up on that. Now, here I go. I got two more to go, 6 and 7. So here's, we're going to take kind of a different turn in this. If you want to continue to hear God speak to you, the sixth tip that I have for you is this: act in obedience. Let's look back at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. When God speaks to us, he fully expects us to obey him and what he says. He wants us to walk in obedience. Now, the problem here is this. We all have this problem. The problem is it's very difficult to walk in obedience. We are by nature disobedient, and we're kind of working through our old nature. But we wrestle with this. So when we are disobedient, what happens? Like, what happens to this relationship that we have with God? There's a barrier that's built up. Because God expects us to obey, and then we're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to obey that. I think I'm going to go do this other thing. And something comes between us. So that, let's just say God says something to us, it's really scary. We're like, there's no way I'm going to do that. God wants us to change a pattern in our life, and we're like, no way, I like that pattern way too much, I'm going to keep doing that. And we kind of keep going our way. Well, then a month or so later, we're thinking, gosh, you know, I really want to like hear God speak to me. Like, maybe, let me get the Bible. Let me start reading through the scriptures. I'm like, okay, God, really speak to me. Like, show me your will. Like, I want to know what you have to say. Look, God will not ignore our past disobedience any more than a parent would just ignore past disobedience. Something has to be done with the ignoring that we did earlier. So sometimes when I have felt like, I don't know, kind of like blocked and not being able to really connect and talk to God, I'll always kind of go back to this question. Okay, God, like, what have you told me that I have ignored? In what way have I quieted your voice and walked my own way? Because I don't want to continue to walk in a way that's disobedient. I want to be obedient to you. And if he reveals something, man, I will confess that. And if possible, I'll kind of go back in my steps and I'll try to say, okay, I want to act in obedience to what that was. Even though you said it a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it is, I want to walk in obedience to what you say. When we act like that with him, the floodgates of his voice will open and we will hear him speak to us afresh and new again. And so as you think about and ponder, like reading the word here as we start this thing up tomorrow, and you're thinking about wanting to hear him speak to you as we read the word, I think a good question would be, has it become difficult for you to hear him speak? Because if it has, perhaps he has spoken to you things in the past and you have ignored it. And if that's the case, I highly encourage you to do what I'm advising here, which is to confess how you have ignored it. Ask him to speak afresh and new so that you can walk in obedience. Remember, our goal here is to be like the people that Jesus described in John chapter 10 when he said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." It's not supposed to be, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them," and they kind of like listen and do their own thing. Like, we're supposed to be walking and following with him. And sometimes that means that we have to do some hard business of confession. So that's my sixth tip on hearing his voice. So here's the seventh and the last one. To hear God speak to you, expect him to change your character more than direct a path. Expect Him to change your character more than direct a path. If you're like me, normally your questions to God about Him speaking to you, they mostly deal with questions like, oh, tell me what path to walk. Tell me what thing to do. Tell me how to behave. Tell me these things, right? Really, that's just not God's primary interest in our hearts and in our lives. Like, take, for example, 1 Peter 1:15. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. God's desire there, He's describing, is, look, God's like, I'm holy, and I want you to be holy like me. That's talking about a change in our character. Take, for example, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourselves with these things. That has nothing to do with where you will go. It has nothing to do with a path you're going to walk on. It has everything to do with changing who you are, changing your character, conforming you. And take, for example, another one, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Again, that's all about an internal change of our character as He is transforming us. And man, we're really excited. Here's what I find. We're really, really, really excited about God speaking to us and walking down paths. Oh, God led me to this place. God told me to do this. Oh, I'm doing this. I really felt like God was calling me to go and minister to these people in this way. We're really excited about that. We love telling those stories. I'd say what's not as exciting to talk about is how God is transforming our character. Oh, let me tell you what this last week, man, I realized how harsh and unloving I was, and God spoke to me, and He's changing me. Well, that's not nearly as exciting to talk about, is it? Let me tell you how I was so selfish, and I was doing this and this and this and this and this, and like I realized it was all about me, and then God, through His Word, He spoke to me and said, no, I want you to serve others. Well, that's not nearly as exciting. That takes a lot of vulnerability. It's scary to be at that kind of a place where God's going to start meddling with our hearts and changing our character. But that is the way He will speak to us primarily, because that's the kind of stuff He talks about in His Word. And if you want to increase the communication that you're hearing, expect it. Expect that He's going to start like meddling with your character and your heart as you're reading it. And you'll be more attuned to hearing His voice when He says, oh, well, I want to change this and this and this about you. And because if you're not expecting it, you're like, okay, well, we'll deal with that later. What I really want to know is, what about this? And God's like, no. What I really want to do is I want to change this about you. Oh, God, come on. Seriously, I've been struggling with that for the last 20 years. What about this thing here? God's like, no. What about these things here? God will change us and transform us and conform us into the image of Christ so that we are holy and so that we are compassionate and kind and gentle and loving and patient people. Because He embodies us with His Spirit, and He wants us to look like Him. And He will do that through His Word as He speaks to us. See, I think that God wants us to thoroughly and confidently trust that He will speak to us through His Word. So confident that we move out in fear. So confident that we move in ways that otherwise people would look at it like that and make any sense at all. But we've heard him speak, and we are confident that he is speaking. And during these next 20 weeks, 20 weeks of 5 readings each week, we're going to be exposing ourselves to hear it. And man, like I said earlier, I'm so excited to hear how he's going to be changing us through it all. I really think it's going to be amazing. If you don't have one of these daily planners, these are on the Connection Center on your way out. These are free. Pick it up. If you want to pick up one of those little booklets, they're $5 each. They have two questions each day that relate to what you just read. And it kind of just helps get the thinking going a little bit. Those could be really helpful as well. Grab one before you leave. And this is going to be an awesome thing. Next week, we'll talk a little more about like what God's teaching us. And the week after that, we'll have some people sharing like what's God saying to them. Like this is going to be something that's going to be a really great adventure for us together as a church. I invite you to come along. And we're going to do everything we can along the way to keep you going when you miss a few days. We know that's going to happen, right? Let's all just admit it right now. We're going to miss a few days. You guys all right with that? Some of you are like, oh, I don't want to miss. Oh, you'll miss a few. Don't worry about it. But we're going to keep it going so that we can hear him speak. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together. God, what a privilege and an honor it is that you speak to us. That you love us so much. That even though you are the powerful, almighty God of the universe that transcends everything we know, that you come and in a very personalized way, you speak to us. I am overwhelmed, really, with the privilege that that is. And we ask that as we read your word, that you are speaking to us all. We want to hear your voice. We want to act in obedience. We want you to use us in powerful ways. Will you do that, please? Tomorrow, when we start reading in Genesis 1, will you speak to us? And through these 20 weeks, Lord, we would just say, look, we want to be your sheep. We want to hear what you say, and we want to follow where you go. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.